This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We will continue our discussion about the U.S. response to the ISIS attacks in Paris with our next guest, who is a foreign policy expert. And we will welcome your questions and your concerns. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. How would you like to see the U.S. react to ISIS? Do you think that President Obama is right to rule out ground troops, or should they be strongly considered? Do you what do you think of Senator Johnson's call for a coalition of the willing to defeat ISIS? And let's talk more about how the U.S. should proceed in accepting 10,000 Syrian refugees next year, or whether or not we ought to hit the pause button on this. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our next guest is Jeremy Suri. He is the Mack Brown Distinguished Chair for Leadership in Global Affairs, History, and Public Affairs at the University of Texas, Austin, and the LBJ School of Public Affairs and the Strauss Center for International Security and Law. He has written several books, including Foreign Policy Breakthroughs, Cases in Successful Diplomacy. And Professor Suri also used to teach at UW-Madison. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Well, let's, I don't even know where to start here. First, I guess I want your reaction to the news of the day, which is Russia denying that one of its warplanes shot down by Turkey earlier today crossed the Syrian border into Turkish airspace. Russia's defense ministry insists that the plane was over Syrian territory when it was downed by artillery fire. Turkey says its F-16s fired on the Russian plane after it ignored several warnings about flying into Turkish airspace. This is, a troubling development, is it not?
Absolutely. And it should be a warning to anyone who says we should be part of a coalition of the willing and just send American soldiers back into the region. It should remind us how complicated this region is. I don't have any inside intelligence, Joy, as to whether the Russian plane actually crossed into Turkish territory or not, but I will say there has been a pattern over the last few months of Russian warplanes crossing into Turkish territory, crossing into the territory of Baltic countries in the north, even pressing against British and American aircraft in various parts of the world. So the Russians have taken a very aggressive position, and in Syria they have not only been bombing ISIS targets, they have been bombing the targets of non-ISIS groups that are allied with Turkey and the United States, and that might be what was going on here. And once again, that should be a warning to anyone who thinks this is going to be a coalition battle of the good guys against ISIS. This is a much more complex space to operate in, and it should make us pause when people are running to send American soldiers back in.
Yeah, well, what's wrong with Senator Johnson's idea for a coalition of the willing?
Well, I'm a historian, Joy. And I still believe that human beings learn from history, but I'm becoming more and more skeptical. We've played this game before. We've seen this happen before. We lived through 9/11, which was a horrible attack, as was the attack in Paris. And then we lived through a series of wars that have not made the region better. One of the sources of conflict and terrorism today is Iraq. And we spent more than a decade and trillions of dollars of our money and thousands of lives, American and non-American, in this area, and we didn't make it better. So I think we need to pause and think about what is a better option in responding to this horrible threat and this horrible group that's operating in the region. I would also say that some of the things we did in Iraq created this problem. It's not just that they didn't succeed. They contributed to the further radicalization of the region. So there are no simple solutions, and we can talk about the other options. But rushing to replay 2003 in 2015, 2016 would simply show that we are unable to learn from our own mistakes.
Yeah, well, maybe we should talk about some other options Senator Johnson says that that President Obama has failed in leading the response against ISIS, and all these bombs did not prevent the Paris attacks.
Well, that verges on the ridiculous, it seems to me. And I know many people are saying that because it sounds good to say that. And it's not just Republicans who are saying that, Democrats too. But to blame President Obama because of a group that has formed over the last decade and for the actions it's taken, to blame him for that without offering what would have been a better alternative doesn't seem to me to be fair at all. We have conducted over the last 7-8 years a series of targeted attacks through drones and other means on terrorist leaders. But we have been unable to work with groups on the ground to build an alternative state structure that would prevent these sorts of radicals from rising to power. Much of that has to do with groups on the ground, and much of that has to do with the legacy that President Obama inherited. I would say that President Obama has failed to find a solution, but he has generally seen a problem, and he has tried to minimize American losses and contain the problem as best he can. And as terrible as the attack was in Paris, I would say these things could have been much, much worse if we were sending thousands of Americans in and continuing to conduct Iraq-like wars in the region. So to say that Obama has failed is simply to say that he hasn't come up with a solution. But those who are saying he has failed, what they are offering sounds much, much worse, which is why it seems ridiculous to go around pointing the finger at other people.
Let's go to the phones. Errol in Madison is with us. Hi, Errol.
I believe we've been put as stewards on this earth to take care of the planet and to take care of each other. We're failing at both. The scientists are saying we're at a tipping point. The sixth mass extinction, the oceans, the dead spots, and
Errol?
The humanitarian agencies are saying we have more refugees than ever. We're constantly in war, and we're throwing bombs, France, America, on innocent people in Syria and Iraq. And, you know, what about those innocent people over there? I mean, we're just going to destroy each other by fighting all the time. The only way is education. Islam is peace. We got to invite some Muslim scholars. There's plenty of them. That there's no place for killing innocent people. No.
Yeah, and thank you, Errol. But Jeremy Suri, what about that? We just need more education to achieve peace?
Well, I wish it were that simple. We certainly need more education. I say that as an educator in a time when it's ironic, isn't it, Joy, that we're fighting extremists and we're reducing the amount that we contribute to education of our own citizens and others. That does seem counterproductive, and I think Errol has a point there. But education alone will not solve these problems. I think what Errol's saying that's most valuable for us to recognize is that the problem is not Islam. The problem is extremism of multiple kinds in all of our societies, including our own. There are extreme actors who claim Islam as a justification for what they're doing, such as ISIS, but there are also extremists who are Christian, Jewish, and others. We're in a world now of more shouting, more extremism, and more violence, often in the name of religion, but not because of religion. And we need to do all we can through education and other means to discourage and penalize that behavior. And we need to start doing that at home as well as abroad, it seems to me.
All right, so in the couple of minutes we have before a news break, we'll just get started. What are the other options for a coordinated response against ISIS?
Well, I think the first thing that has to be said, Joy, is that we have to look around the region and figure out who are the actors in the region who we might not like, but would be better than ISIS and would be likely to at least help to build some sort of order in the region, some sort of political order. And here is where I think Iran is important, potentially Russia, but Iran and Turkey, and to some extent Saudi Arabia, is the most important actors. They have a lot of assets on the ground. They know the region very well. Now, we will often differ with the aims they have, but they share with us a desire to see ISIS contained and eliminated. And we need to coordinate with them, and we need to be willing to say this shouldn't be our way. This should be through some sort of true coalition, not a coalition of the willing where we're dictating and sending our soldiers, but we're helping those on the ground to do a much better job. But that will mean working with the Iranians very closely, which some people don't like because of the ideological issues attached to that, but that might be our best way forward. Sometimes the enemy of our enemy is actually a good friend for us.
President Obama and French President Francois Hollande are meeting at the White House today to discuss revamped efforts to defeat ISIS. Just a minute, what do you expect to happen there?
Well, I think they're going to talk about law enforcement and border security issues and refugee issues, and I hope President Hollande encourages President Obama to continue taking Syrian refugees. People have forgotten that the French have increased the number of refugees since the attack that they're going to take, so I hope they will talk about that. And they will talk about the airstrikes and various other things they can do. I hope they will talk about what we just discussed, Joy, which is the working with regional actors like Iran and Turkey and Russia to some extent to make this situation a more doable diplomatic and military situation.
I'm Joy Cardine talking with Jeremy Suri, who is the Chair for Leadership in Global Affairs, History, and Public Affairs at the University of Texas, Austin. We are talking about what the response should be and the next steps should be in the fight against ISIS and terrorism. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. When we come back from news, we will talk more about the U.S. response, and we'll also talk about resettling or accepting Syrian refugees in the United States as well. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking with Jeremy Suri, who is the Chair for Leadership in Global Affairs, History, and Public Affairs at the University of Texas, Austin, talking about U.S. Reaction to ISIS, and welcoming your questions, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. President Obama and his French counterpart will meet at the White House today to discuss the next steps in the fight against ISIS. We are taking a look at America's role in that battle, as well as resettling Syrian refugees. And we are welcoming your thoughts and your questions. The U.S. State Department yesterday issued a worldwide travel alert for U.S. citizens abroad due to increased terrorist threats. The advisory points to intelligence suggesting plans by terrorist groups such as ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and Boko Haram as targeting large sporting events, theaters, open markets, and aviation services. It doesn't say don't travel, but to be, you know, on alert and maybe especially at any, you know, large crowds. Jeremy Suri, how worried should we be about attacks, either abroad or here on U.S. soil?
Well, I think we should be aware that there are people in various parts of the world who want to attack Americans and want to do things that harm us. We need to be aware of that. On the other hand, we also need to be aware that exactly what they're trying to do is make us fearful and paralyze us and shut down our society and have us cower in the corner somewhere. And we can't let them do that. I've seen nothing that shows any reason to be more frightened today than we were a year ago. And what Americans need to remember are three things, three really important things. First, the safest means of transportation in the world is flying. The least safe is driving. So motorcycles in particular, those are Harley riders in Wisconsin. But we are far safer going to an airport than we are driving to work on a highway, especially in a winter slippery morning. Second, Americans are far, far, far more likely to suffer violence from someone they know who looks like them. Particularly if you're a woman, you are more likely to suffer violence from someone who is close to you and male, who you know, who you're in a relationship with, than someone who looks different and comes from far away. And third, the number of terrorist attacks on Americans, although horrible when they've occurred, have been relatively infrequent, and the death toll has been relatively small. That doesn't mean to diminish the horrors and the suffering of people. But terrorism is not the thing we should worry about most of all. We should be worrying about violent people who live near us, particularly violent people who look like us, and we should be worried about drivers and drunks. Those should be much higher on our lists of worries than terrorism. And that's why I don't like these warnings, Joy, because they don't tell us much, and they raise excessive fears that actually play into the hands of the terrorists.
Yeah. Well, back to the meeting at the White House today between our president and France's president. Are we pretty much on the same page as France in terms of where to go from here?
I'm not sure. I think President Hollande is in a very, very difficult position, not dissimilar from what we faced after September 11th. This horrible attack has occurred on the main city, on the capital city of France, and he has to look like he's doing something. And he's emotional about this. Who wouldn't be in his position? And I think President Obama is trying to figure out how to respond, but how to respond in a way that's actually effective and not just symbolic. And that's where they will agree that a response is necessary, but they might disagree as to what should be done. I think President Hollande would like to see more airstrikes and like to see things that look tough. And I think President Obama is concerned about whether those will be effective and whether those will actually get us pulled deeper into a situation where we don't actually have a solution.
Let's go to Jonathan in Eagle River now. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi.
Go ahead.
I just want to say I think the best thing to do is completely insane, but like to just negotiate with these people. It's about peace, you know. The world wants peace, and these people, I think they're insane. It's about God, you know. The whole world. Excuse me.
Well, why do you think negotiating with them will help then, Jonathan?
Well, because this has been going on for a long, long time. These people are deeply committed to what they're doing. They think that they're God. It's about God, you know, the whole world.
And won't help then, Jonathan?
Huh?
Then negotiation wouldn't help. I don't understand why you think they're...
Well, because they're going to keep doing what they're doing, because this is a problem of an idealism that is manifested in society. And it's about religion. And what I would do is I would negotiate with anyone who they're radically altered in their mind. And it's about God. And what I would say is that, you know, everything about religion, you can't prove it.
Okay. Thank you, Jonathan. I guess I'm not quite understanding where he's going here. But Jeremy Suri, do you have a response?
Well, I see where Jonathan is coming from, which is to say that those who are so ideologically committed, for whatever reasons, I'm not sure it's really about religion, but let's say it is for a second, at some level, it's very hard to persuade them, and maybe you need to give in to them. This is the word the British used in the 19th century, and it worked very well for the British for a century and a half. They would appease adversaries, give them a little bit so that they're less angry and so they have their own space. The argument Americans have used in the second half of the 20th century is containment. Contain these groups. Don't necessarily try to change them. We can't convert them. But contain them. And there is some logic to that. I think the way to think about this is as law enforcement, not as war. We are not at war with Islam. We are not at war in the Middle East. I hope we're not at war in the Middle East. We have a major law enforcement operation. These terrorists are a big international gang. They actually have relatively few people who are part of their gang, but it's relatively few relative to a lot much larger population, so they still have a lot of people. And what we need to do is what we do with any good law enforcement operation. We need to isolate them. We need to show them they're not going to get their way and discourage people from joining the gang. And then we need to have targeted police activities, which might include bombing at certain moments. And slowly but surely, that's how you undermine a gang. You don't undermine the gang by trying to go all out and, you know, capture a part of a city. You try to isolate, discourage, and slowly degrade their capabilities. And that's what we need to do as an international community. And maybe at times we need to negotiate with certain members of the gang to defect. And I'm open to that as well. But this is law enforcement. This is like fighting terrible gangs in urban environments. This is just on an international scale, and we need to be ready for that.
Well, Congress is debating a bill that would add more layers to the refugee vetting process. Is this a move that will improve American security, Jeremy Suri?
No, it will not help in any way at all. And this is not just a professor talking. There's a wonderful study I encourage listeners to go and look at by the Cato Institute. I very rarely cite the Cato Institute, but I'm citing them now, CATO, the Cato Institute. They're a conservative think tank. They're a libertarian think tank. And they show quite conclusively Two things. First, the number of refugees who come into the United States from Syria is very, very, very small. It is less than 1%, less than 0.5% of the total refugee group, and it takes them about 2 years to get into the United States. If someone wants to launch a terrorist attack on the U.S., that's not how they're going to do it. And by the way, not a single one of the terrorist planners in Paris was a refugee. They were French and Belgian citizens. This was a propaganda that there was an actual refugee involved there. So the refugees don't pose a threat. But there's a bigger issue, Joy, and I've written about this and others have too. We have benefited in every one of our wars in the past by having refugees from the country and area we're fighting against help us. They give us cultural knowledge. They give us insights. Think of all the German refugees who came to the United States and built our atomic bomb, built up our universities, made the University of Wisconsin into the great university it became. We have benefited from people coming from the areas we're fighting against, coming to our society because we're freer, and helping us figure out how to do the right thing. If we cut ourselves off in the Middle East, we are playing into the hands of the terrorists. We are making it into a war of us versus them, and we will be ignorant and unable to do our job. We need more people from the region who have language skills and cultural knowledge. That's what our society should be about. So this jumping up and down and saying we should keep refugees out is I'm sorry to say, it's racism and it's demagoguery. And for a senator to say that we need to double check that we're doing the best job possible, we make it harder to get into the United States as a refugee than almost any other country does. We don't need to make it harder. We need to welcome people who will help us improve the world, we hope.
Well, Senator Johnson was saying he didn't wanted to make sure there were no shortcuts taken. Go ahead.
There's no evidence, Joy, and people have been looking at this intensely the last week, that there are any shortcuts being taken. We've made it harder at every single layer. And the legislation that the House passed is legislation that makes it virtually impossible, that requiring the director of the CIA to certify every single refugee. There has been no evidence in the last few weeks of any kind showing that we have taken any shortcuts. In fact, all the evidence from conservative groups shows that we have made it almost impossible already for refugees to come in. We're planning to take 10,000 out of 4.3 million refugees. That is less than 0.5% of the Syrian refugees. We should be ashamed of that. The French are increasing the number of refugees they're taking in. Is there something they're doing better than us? Why have we forgotten what makes us a free society? Why are we giving in to racism? We should be ashamed of ourselves, I think, Joy.
Well, what do you see happening on the refugee question?
Well, I think people are beginning to push back. I think maybe I'm just too much of an optimist, though I don't know if I sound that way this morning. But I think many people who gave in to this fearful urge at first and said we should keep refugees out, as they think about it, I think they do agree, because so many of us are the children of immigrants, that we need to find a way to keep our society open. And so I hope that issue is beginning to bounce back, and I'm seeing some evidence of that. Maybe I'm just talking to people who agree with me, but I'm seeing some evidence, especially among conservatives, that we need to move back on this issue. I'll say someone like Senator Cornyn, my senator down here in Texas, has started to move back on this issue and said that it would be a shame to keep refugees out. So hopefully there'll be enough pushback on this issue to remind us that we're a society of immigrants and always should be a society of immigrants.
And with just a minute to go, on the broader question of the U.S. response and international response to ISIS, what do you expect there?
I expect we'll see more airstrikes. I expect that we will see more special operations forces and raids of different kinds, but I don't think we're going to repeat the Iraq war, and I think we'll be better off for not doing that. I think one other issue, coming back to where we started, Joy, we're going to see more internal squabbling and fighting between the Turks and the Russians and the U.S. and Russia, so it's going to be very hard to have any coalition. We're going to see lots of unilateral actions aimed at trying to bring law enforcement to the region, which might be the best we can do.
Thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Jeremy Suri is a Distinguished Chair for Leadership in Global Affairs, History, and Public Affairs at the University of Texas, Austin. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Christy Taylor, and to Elizabeth Deliquess. I'm Joy Cardine.